Hello, am I speaking to Terry Nunn? Yes, hi, my name is Jason, I'm from Australia. How are you going?
I'm good, how are you, Jason?
Great. First of all, I just want to say it's a pleasure to be talking to you, as I'm a big fan, and we're really looking forward to Berlin coming out in July to Australia for the Totally 80s tour. You haven't been here since 1984, which is a long time. Are you excited about coming back to Australia?
Yes, I am. I'm really excited. It's a big deal for me.
Yeah? Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Do you remember much about your visit here in 1984?
I remember a few things. Yeah, I remember that it was beautiful. It was similar in landscape to America. It was interesting how the men were hot. They were kind of solid than English guys.
Okay.
And the women were really strong, surprisingly strong for the, you know, the men had a lot of bravado, and the women were, you know, they didn't cower. It wasn't like Japan. They were like American women.
Oh, okay,
so
great.
I thought that was interesting.
Okay, and do you remember doing a show called Countdown with Molly Meldrum?
Yeah.
You do? Yes. And you performed Dancing in Berlin. It was a great performance, but yeah, I just wanted to know if you remembered that.
Oh, thank you.
Now on to the very beginnings of Berlin. The band was formed in 1978, and the first single release was A Matter of Time, which is one of my favourites. On the album Information, you actually don't sing on it, but on the single you did sing on the track. Is that because you left the band for a while to pursue acting?
No, I left the band because there was a problem with one of the guys at the time who was funding the band, and he had a lot of opinions about what we should be doing and what we should be wearing and how it should go, and the rest of the band wasn't real happy about that. I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I left for about a year, and then John Crawford called me, and, you know, they did Information, because he had already gotten that deal.
Mm-hmm.
When I left. I think it was right around then that it was a German company. They said they wanted to do that album with us, and I left, so they found another singer. That didn't work out, and then John called me and said, you know, I that guy is gone, and I really think we could do something together. So we started working together, yeah, a year later.
Oh, fantastic. And around that time, a lot of American bands, like there were the Go-Go's, Motels, etc., but Berlin were a lot more synth-driven, I think more, I guess, in the mould of continuing on from like the likes of Giorgio Moroder and Telex and Sparks and that kind of thing, which was, I guess, was it quite different for American bands in particular to go down the more electronic avant-garde kind of route?
Yeah, it wasn't happening in America yet when we started.
Yep.
We heard the bands overseas, you know, that was happening in Europe and in England,
mm-hmm.
but not really here.
Yep.
So we were trying to do it here with some different elements, like a female singer. We hadn't heard that before, so we're trying that. And, you know, also kind of a darker version,
yep.
of the synthesizer sound that we were hearing, which is kind of very happy and poppy.
Mm-hmm.
And John and I were definitely not happy and poppy, so we went a little bit darker with the music.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially like in with tracks like The Metro and Sexheimer, the lyrics were a lot more, I guess, not commercial at all, so they were a lot more underground.
Right.
I actually bought the 12-inch of Sexheimer in the 80s. It was actually the first 12-inch single that I bought. And...
Thank you.
Yeah, it's such an amazing track, and obviously that track was not, it was not meant to be really for airplay or anything. Was it more directed, I guess, at clubs, or is that how you guys kind of wanted to approach that with that single?
Well, we tackled that song initially because there was one radio station in our town called K-Rock that was playing the radio station in our town.
Yeah.
The type of music that we would fit into, you know, very different,
mm-hmm.
very either, you know, the power pop or punk. They were putting on their station all the new bands that nobody was listening to, that no other stations were touching.
Okay.
So one of the things that you know, they liked quirky songs, and they loved songs about any kind of sex or, you know, that kind of titillating stuff. So we thought, all right, well, let's do our version of that.
Okay.
If we can get on that station, we'll at least get heard enough that we can get better shows, you know, we can get somewhere. So we tackled that song from that position of trying to get something that we could get played. And I wrote it about, at the time, I was with a boyfriend and we were having, you know, kind of a boring sex life. We'd been together not very long, but just kind of doing the same thing over and over. And so I approached him about spicing it up a little bit, maybe doing some role play. And he did not like that at all. He thought that was, you know, just not cool. He's a guy. He just wants to be a guy. That's all he likes. He just likes normal stuff. And so that's what I wrote the song about, is me being all these different things and him being one thing, a guy.
And moving on to the Metro, I think the Metro for me is like, when you think of Berlin, I think that is such a important track and video as well. Like, how do you feel about that?
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was the first song that gave us an identity.
Yeah.
You know, when you're floundering around as a band and you're trying different, like, to have a sound, we knew we were electronic, we wanted that.
Yep.
But we didn't really know, okay, well, but what is Berlin? That's not enough. We can't just go over synthesizers. We have to have a feeling, a mood, a style. What is it?
Yep.
So we were writing and trying different things, and when Metro finished, when we got that down, when we finished recording, we were like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's who Berlin is.
That's absolutely.
That's our model. That's the bar.
Thank you.
have to follow that bar. At this point, that's what we, how we identify ourselves. So it really solidified the band.
Yep, and were videos like Sex and the Metro played much on MTV or not really?
Oh, yeah.
They were?
Yeah, it was so lucky to start at that time was so lucky for us because MTV started right at that time too, and they didn't have enough videos. I mean, there weren't so many labels actually didn't believe in video. They didn't think there was any future in it, but nobody was making them.
Yeah,
and we had a label that did believe in them, and so we were making them, and so they were playing the shit out of them because we had to fill 24 hours of time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
so we got all this exposure. You know, I'd like to say because we were good, but I also have to say because they didn't. I don't think they had enough videos.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's funny. And also from the amazing Pleasure Victim album, you also had Masquerade, which I absolutely love, and I love the video as well. I just wanted to tell you that, because, it's a really cool video.
Thank you.
And then we... Oh. Yeah, were you a bit surprised?
Well, you just seem to know a lot about the band.
Yeah, I'm a massive fan. So it's like really amazing to talk to you. And so then, of course, the next album, Love Life. What I love about it is that I've also heard you guys say that you really wanted to work with Giorgio Moroder, but you couldn't afford him. Is that kind of the deal that happened?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and
I wanted him to do the whole album, but he was more expensive. At that point, he had hits with David Bowie and Blondie and Cat People and Flash Dance. And I think he's gotten Oscars for Flash Dance.
Yeah.
At that point, you know, I mean, the guy was just kicking ass.
Yeah.
And he should have been, because he was so amazing. He's just an amazing writer, producer. That guy just blew my mind.
And you, of course, recorded two singles with him for Love Life, being the very, very massive No More Words and one of my very favourites, which is Dancing in Berlin.
Aww, cute.
Yeah, and I have to say...
I've heard that. That was not as big of a hit in the States. I've just heard that from a couple of people that know about it. And they said that Dancing in Berlin was a hit there.
Yeah, it was quite big in Australia too. It was, like, played a lot here.
Wow.
Yeah, so,
cool.
Yeah, and I have to say the 12-inch to Dancing in Berlin is my favourite, my favourite Berlin 12-inch, as well as, the Tell Me Why 12-inch. Which is the different version to the...
Huh.
Yeah, which is great. And then you also had Now It's My Turn as a single, which I also have to say is a great video, the black and white video.
Thank you.
And then we're moving on to Count Three and Pray, which is, I guess, when the cracks, I guess, started to form... In the likes of Take My Breath... Yeah, in the likes of Take My Breath Away, it was, like, a huge single for Berlin, and I guess the most commercial thing that you guys had done, but as commercial as it was, it caused pretty much a lot of trouble within the band, didn't it?
Well, I can't blame Take My Breath Away for Jason Newsted, because he was what I blame is myself And I also forgive myself for this, but we were fighting about everything at that point. We were just tired.
Yeah.
We'd done 6 years nonstop. We had a record label that wanted to make their money, and the gravy train as long as it's going to ride.
Yeah.
And I can't blame them for that. It's business.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know how long Berlin would last. Nobody knows how long anybody's going to last. So they're just pushing. You know, do a record, go on tour, do a record, go on tour. And we have no life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were too young and dumb to stop the train, to just get off for a while and take a break. So we were fighting with each other and hating each other because we saw each other 24 hours a day. And then Take My Breath Away came along, and there was something else to fight about. Never hesitate to become the faded ones. Turning, return to some secret place to find. Watching in slow motion as you turn to me and say, I love, take my breath away.
Oh, okay.
You know, we're fighting about that. You know, John was like, well, that's not our song, and you have to see Berlin, and all that bullshit, which he even calls bullshit now. But it really was just another thing that pushed us apart from each other even more.
Yeah.
It by itself was not the problem. We were the problem.
Okay.
We should have stood up and done something about it, you know?
Yeah, and Giorgio Moroder, of course, did Take My Breath Away as well for the Top Gun soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, I just love him.
Yeah.
We were working with him on No More Words when that song came in, when it came up to be done, he was working with us on No More Words, and I got lucky because, you know, they tried huge singers on that song. I mean, I know that I was not the first or even the fourth. I think I was the fifth or sixth singer to try on it. And The producers just kept saying, no, that's not like this person or that person.
Yeah. And I also wanted to say, well, Like Flames was played quite a lot in Australia here too, which is and You Don't Know was played a lot on a show here called Countdown at the time, and I think both of those tracks are amazing, yeah. Amazing singles. Like, really great.
Oh, thank you.
And
wow.
And moving on, I guess, from the 80s into the 90s and so forth, you continued with Berlin and with a new lineup, etc., and you brought out Voyeur for Play and Animal. And I guess, like, was it exciting, I guess, to do a whole new kind of, a new lineup with Berlin and, like, you know, do it kind of on, I don't know, I guess out of, you know, the 80s, was it more kind of easier just to do it just for the love of music more than with the record company kind of bullshit kind of thing?
Yeah, I especially loved Animal, and Voyeur was because I really love what's going on with electronic music right now.
Yep.
But so many elements of Berlin are still being used in electronic music now, mm-hmm. So it doesn't sound so weird to hear Berlin doing, you know, out on the radio today like before. It's such a nice progression.
Yeah.
And I feel really fortunate because music could have gone any different direction. It kind of goes where it wants to go, and amazingly, it's still very electronic, if not more so.
Yeah.
As far as I hear nowadays, they don't even have guitars on them.
Absolutely, because, like,
you know, they're all programmed.
Yeah, because I guess, like, the thing is, a lot of bands from the 80s who did electronic music kind of suffered in the 90s because of the very grunge orientated thing, but then towards the late 90s I think electronic music and dance music was kind of more forefront again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that was a really fun album to do, Animal.
Yeah. And are you planning on recording any more new music? I heard that you may be doing some material with some of the original members of Berlin. Is there any truth in that?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally like in this month that I've been talking with John Crawford and David Diamond to collaborate again.
Yeah.
Hearing all this stuff so fast.
Oh,
are you hearing it from the Facebook?
No, yeah, I'm kind of just, you know, doing a little bit of digging around on the internet, basically. Yeah.
Well, that's happening. Yeah, it is happening, and I am amazed, and I don't know what's going to come of it. I was planning to release an EP this year anyway.
Okay.
And also a Christmas album.
Okay.
So if the songs start gelling with John and David, then their songs will probably go on the EP as well. And we'll see what happens. It's quite new and exciting for me.
Well, that's great. Well, I guess it's been quite a long time, because the first time I saw you guys reunite was on the show Bands Reunited, which was quite amazing to watch. I was actually watching it with, I don't know, it was quite a full-on thing to watch, actually, because everyone seemed kind of so uncertain, and then when you all met together in a room, it was really, really, like, it seemed genuinely very touching to watch.
Oh, thank you. It was for me.
Yeah, great.
The reunion with John.
Yeah.
It's really, really wonderful that it happened.
Yeah. And with the Totally 80s tour that's coming here in July, you're bringing, what band are you bringing to Australia?
I'm bringing Chris, two of my band members, Chris on drums and my keyboardist, Dave Schultz. And we're using a guitarist there who was highly recommended to us, so he will round out the band.
Okay. And I also wanted to ask, will you be doing tracks like The Metro and Sexheimer and Dancing in Berlin in Australia?
Yes, we will.
Oh,
doing those.
Fantastic.
As well as a few more of the hits, and then some songs from Animalton.
Oh, wow, that's great. It's nice to know that. Because a lot of these package tours tend to, you know, they tend to have, like, you know, three or four songs. I'm glad that it's going to be a bit more extensive. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, great.
We do a show, actually. We have quite a bit of video content and it's a visual show as well.
Yeah. I also just want to say one more thing, just from the Love Life album. I just wanted to point out my favourite track on it is In My Dreams. It's probably my favourite Berlin song ever.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I would have loved for that to be in a single, but I have seen some live footage of it on YouTube, which is great. And just one more thing, out of all the kind of like Berlin videos you did, what is probably your standout video clip from the Berlin 80s era?
What is my favorite video clip?
Yeah.
You mean that we created?
Yeah, that you created, yes.
I would have to say No More Words.
Okay.
For me, that one just worked. It was so much fun. It was my idea, because I actually got my first kid watching Bonnie and Clyde. So it was a very romantic idea for me,
Yeah, it's a great video, and it was, I guess, the debut of your new hair, which has become quite iconic, the black and white stripe fabulous look that you had.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of back to that now.
Yes, I have seen. You've got
the shoulder length here. Yeah.
Fantastic. And is it true that the shotguns in the video were an issue with MTV, or is that not true?
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't like that.
Okay, that's it. Okay.
They didn't like a lot of things. They had a lot of power in those days, so they kept telling us, no, you have to take this out. No, you have to stop that. No, you got to pull that out. We're not going to play it.
Wow. Okay, because in Australia, the video was just, you know, played with the shotgun with no backlash at all. It just wasn't a problem here at all.
Oh, good.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for talking to me, and it's been a real pleasure. And,
Oh, thank you, Jason. It was a pleasure.
And we'll... Yes, thank you so much, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you here in July, and I'm very much hoping that I get to meet you. It would be lovely.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I would love to meet you.
Okay, thank you so much, and have a good day.
Okay, you too, Jason. See you then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.